Good morning. Makes you just want to get up and holler, doesn't it? All right. Well, we hope that you have enjoyed the last several months as we've been able to gather together in one group, and we started our two services again, and we are gonna have a great time this morning. We are beginning a brand new series called Lost and Wandering, and really what it's talking about is we're gonna spend really four teaching times. One of them is gonna be Good Friday, so if you are around and you're in town and you're not like eating ham dinner with somebody, we encourage you to come and be a part of what we're doing on Good Friday as we celebrate communion and baptism, and I'll be teaching one of the parts of this four-part series, Lost and Wandering. And really what the series is all about is moments in time when Jesus connected with an individual, or one of them, it was actually two people, and how Jesus connected with those people. And they were lost. They were looking for something. There was something that was missing in their lives, something that they just couldn't figure out where to go. And so they were coming to Jesus looking for hope, looking for future, looking for direction. And at each and every point, Jesus points in the direction, says, this is the way you need to go. And then he shows the truth. He says, this is what the truth is. And so my hope and my prayer is that during these four parts that you're going to connect in some way, shape, or form with one of these four moments in time when Jesus connected with these people. And more than likely, as we go through this, there's going to be one of these teaching times where, man, God's just going to like hit you like a ton of bricks. I always like to joke that God likes to use a spiritual 2x4. Every once in a while, it's a 4x4 with me, just because I'm stubborn that way. And God just hits us with this. And so I believe that during this series, there's going to be a moment in time when, man, it just hits you. And God says to you, that's you right there. That is you. That's what's going on in your life. That's what you're struggling with. That's the issue that you need to resolve. That's the problem you need to get over. That's the thing that you need to let go of. And God's just going to hit you. My challenge is that in that moment, take a deep breath and just open your heart to God. Allow him to teach you what it is that he wants you to teach. Now, that doesn't mean you're not going to get stuff out of the other parts of the series, but I believe that there's going to be at least one that's just going to just hit you right where you are. And so I encourage you to just take a deep breath, to pause, and allow the Spirit of God to work in your life as we're doing that. So today, we're looking at the outcast. Today we're looking at the outcast. This is a guy named Bartimaeus. Now, if you're pregnant, or you know, you and your wife are getting ready to have a baby and it's a boy, Bartimaeus, right there. That's a name for you. He could be Bart or Barty, you know, whatever you want to go with. And he had been labeled his entire life. We don't know when, but at some point in time, very early on in his life, he became blind. He lost his sight. And so what's interesting is we know it's been a long time, because literally when we meet him, his name is not Bartimaeus. His name is Blind Bartimaeus. And so every day as he went around and did what he did, he was referred to as Blind Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus. The people in his world had labeled him as Blind Bartimaeus. On top of that, because he was blind, he could not earn a living. So he had to become a beggar. And as a beggar, he had to wait and hope upon the kindness of others, upon the pity of others, to just get a few coins so that he could make enough money to be able to feed himself that day. The word beggar, when used as an adjective to describe something, the word is beggarly. It literally means worthless. So not only was Bartimaeus labeled as blind, someone that was disabled, someone that had limits, someone that could only do so much stuff, but he was also told that his value was worthless, that he had nothing to offer, that not only was he limited in what he could do or couldn't do, but he had nothing to offer. His disability kept him from being able to do anything, and his work, whatever you call it, his beggar, literally meant that he was worthless. Now, even worse than that, in that day and age, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, literally taught this. Any disability, any deformity, any issue that you would have physically was very clearly a punishment from God. So obviously, if you were deformed, if you were disabled, if you, you know, lost an arm or something like that, obviously you had done something that had made God mad. And you had done something so egregious that God just didn't speak to it in your heart. God literally physically did something to you so that he could get your attention to stop you from the direction that you were going. So now, not only is he blind, beggarly, Bartimaeus, but he's also a really horrible sinner. I mean, he must have done something sick for God to do this to him. I mean, he must be a really bad dude. Can you imagine being this guy? Can you imagine waking up every day and realizing that every time somebody meets you, you're going to hear your label over and over and over and over and over? You're going to be reminded with the fact that you can't see what's going on, that you're limited in your capability of doing anything, and that everyone around you know what they're thinking. You know that they not only see you as someone that's worthless and someone that's blind and disabled and has limits, but they see you as someone that really must have done something that really ticked God off. And that's how he lived his life. He was so destitute that he was reduced to sitting on the side of the road in the dirt. And by the way, you think our roads are bad? If you live in Greenwood, if you drive down this road that's right out here, that's called Old Emerson, man, you better have good shocks because it's going to just tear your car up. But you think that's bad? In this day and age, there was no blacktop. It was all dirt roads, right? And they rode and they had animals that would carry their carts. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen like a horse parade. You ever seen that? Have you ever seen a horse parade? You know, they have lots of horses and they ride on their horses and they come down the road and they're all like, "Well, this is so cool." You see what's in the road after the horses have come by? And they have the people with the little street sweeper guy that comes and cleans it all up. They didn't have a street sweeper guy back then. That just got burned into and trampled into the dirt and the dust. And it was so disgusting and so awful. And that's where this guy sat every day. He would wake up and someone would take him to his spot. And he would sit in that spot day after day after day, hoping that somebody would have pity on him. That was his life. So I want to begin by sharing the big idea. If you're this is your first time here at Friendship Church, I want to challenge you. I give this thing called the big idea. And essentially what it means is this, is that everything else kind of flows off of this. If you miss this, you miss everything else. So don't miss this. If you forget everything else, okay, that's fine. Sometimes that happens, but don't miss this. The big idea is this: your worth isn't limited by your labels. Your worth isn't limited by your labels. Whether they're labels that you have internally thought of or labels that others have given you, those labels do not define nor do they limit your worth. Your worth can only be shown, limited, or expanded by God because God is your creator. Therefore, your labels do not limit your worth. You may not feel like you're worth very much, but the bottom line is that's probably because you've bought into the labels that either you believe about yourself or other people have said about you. So what I want to do is I want to begin in the book of Mark. If you've got your Bibles, you can turn there. You can follow along in your notes. You can follow along on the screen. You can also pull it up in YouVersion and follow along there. But we're just going to read through this passage in Mark, and we're going to see this connection that God has through Jesus Christ with this guy, blind, beggarly Bartimaeus, the really, really bad sinner. Okay, that's a really long name, but that's his name. So let's read it. Mark chapter 10. Verses 46 through 52. They reached Jericho. The they is Jesus and his disciples. So Jesus and his disciples were ministering somewhere else. Jesus said, "Hey, listen, it's time for us to go." They begin their journey. They travel to Jericho. They get to Jericho and they begin to do ministry. The comma separates everything that happened in Jericho. Jesus went in, he preached and he taught and he healed people. He did all these things. And then it gets to, "and as Jesus and his disciples left town." So Jesus shows up. He's in Jericho for an undetermined amount of time. We really don't know how long he was there, but he's preaching, he's teaching, he's healing people, and he's setting people free from demons and all these different things. The word must have traveled all through the city of Jericho, and the time of his ministry was over with, and he is now leaving town. Bartimaeus has not yet met Jesus. It's now too late, isn't it? Because Jesus' ministry is over with. It's done. It's too late. He's lost his opportunity. But he gets up that morning and he goes and he sits by the road, and this is what happens. A large crowd began to follow him, Jesus. And a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, Timaeus was sitting beside the road. So now, okay, wait a second, time out. Here's what's happening. Jesus has been preaching and teaching and healing and all that stuff, and he's become a celebrity in town. So everyone gets up and they go to find where Jesus is and what's Jesus doing today? And they're getting their, well, they don't have phones out, so I don't know what they're doing, but they're doing something, you know. They can't take pictures. I guess they're just telling people what's going on. And Jesus is doing all this stuff, and then he's like, okay, today we're leaving town. And his disciples get up, and they begin to leave town. Everyone's like, oh, Jesus is leaving. So now they're following Jesus. They're like, hey, Jesus, can you sign my handkerchief? I don't know what they're signing. And so they're leaving town with Jesus, and Bartimaeus is sitting on the side of the road. He's blind. He can't see anything. He can't get involved in anything. He's covered in dirt and dust and all the garbage from the road, and he hears that Jesus is on his way. He's leaving town. But Jesus is coming by, and Bartimaeus makes a decision. And we see that when Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout. Now, this isn't like, Jesus, Jesus. No, he shouted. Now, there's a crowd of people around Jesus. Have you ever been in a crowd of people where there wasn't anything going on and how loud it is? It's like, la, 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 la. I mean, it's just like crazy, right? So this is what's happening. And they're all talking to Jesus, and they're all trying to get Jesus to do this and heal this and be this. And he hears that Jesus is coming by. And so instead of sitting and just doing nothing, he begins to shout. And he literally shouts, he says, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the Bible says that he repeats it over and over and over. So here he is sitting, and he's got people standing all around him and people who are walking in the street. And he's going, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Now, it's really interesting because he says, have mercy on me, not have grace on me. Mercy and grace, right? They're two sides of the same coin. Grace is God giving us something that we haven't earned, that we haven't deserved. It's like a gift. Mercy is God not giving us what we have earned. It's like a removal of punishment. Bartimaeus had been told his whole life he was blind, he was a beggar, he was worthless, he was a sinner, and at some point in time in his life, he believed it. You know that sometimes the biggest labels that hold us back in life are not labels that others have put on us. They're the labels we put on ourselves. You do it every morning. You wake up, you walk into the bathroom, you look in the mirror, and you immediately begin to give yourselves labels. I'm too tall, I'm too short, I'm too fat, I'm too thin, I don't have enough hair, where'd my hair go? What happened to that? What is that thing on my face? We begin to put these labels all over ourselves. And we walk around, and as we continue to walk around, now we begin to hear people throwing those same labels on us. And when the labels that we think about ourselves match up with the labels that other people give us, guess what? We begin to believe that they're true. And we begin to embrace them, and we begin to internalize them. And Bartimaeus here is going, listen, Jesus, I know I deserve this. That's what he's saying. I know I deserve to be blind. I know I deserve to be worthless. I know I deserve to be a beggar sitting by the side of the road with dirt and garbage all over me, but would you in any way, shape, or form consider having mercy on me? Now, the people around him start to get embarrassed, and they tell him to be quiet. In fact, it says, be quiet, many of the people, what? Yelled at him. They were nice. They were saying, shut up! Barty, shut up, be quiet. You are embarrassing us. Dude, be cool. It's Jesus. Chill out. Be quiet. Shut up. Stop. Everyone around him was telling him he had no right to be hollering out to Jesus. But he only shouted louder. He goes, oh yeah, you want to be loud? I can be louder. And he continues to scream, Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. Over and over and over. And when Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, tell him to come here. And I want to pause for just a second. I didn't say this in the first service, so you guys get it. You can tweet it out and, you know, be over your friends like, hey, I came to 11 o'clock and I heard this and you didn't. Okay? But I want you to notice something. Bartimaeus had to keep hollering. It wasn't one time. Bartimaeus didn't give up. Bartimaeus kept hollering until finally Jesus responded to him. See, sometimes we're unwilling to be humble enough to keep hollering out to God until we get an answer. But Bartimaeus didn't back down. And finally, when Jesus heard him, he stopped and he said, "Tell him to come here." I love this. So they called the blind man. "Cheer up," they said. "Come on, he's calling you." So now the same people that were like, "Dude, shut up, you're embarrassing us, be quiet." "Hey, Barty, he's calling you. Jesus, do you see we're being nice to the blind beggar?" They're bringing him up. And so Bartimaeus threw aside his coat and he jumped up and he came to Jesus. Can you picture that? The crowd beginning to try to get out of his way, and he finally gets to Jesus, and he stands in front of Jesus. And you would think, right? You and I, we'd be like, Jesus would reach out and go, "You're healed." Boop, there you go. Now you can see. And I love what Jesus does. He goes, "What do you want? I heard you calling. What do you want?" So what do you want me to do for you? He doesn't skip a beat. He says, "My rabbi, my teacher," the blind man said, "I want to see." And Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has healed you." And instantly the man could see. And he followed Jesus down the road. I think that's so cool. I don't know how long Bartimaeus was blind. But the minute that he was able to break free from his labels and understand his worth in Jesus Christ was when his eyes were open and the first thing he saw was Jesus. So what I want to do this morning is I want to take this and I want to just show you four ways, and they all work together. You can't just cherry pick one and not another. They really all work together. And I want to show you four ways that you can fully pursue and discover your worth. And the first one is this: find your voice. Find your voice. You know, Bartimaeus was undaunted. He had people around him telling him to shut up, to be quiet, to know your place. Who do you think you are? Sit down, be quiet, do what you're supposed to do. Be invisible. And yet he refused to let that happen. You know, so many of us are willing to let life happen to us. So many of us, when circumstances happen, we're just like, "Well, that's life." We say things like, "Well, it is what it is. That's nothing I can do. Those are just the circumstances. Those are just the things that are the way they are. That's just life." And we allow life to overwhelm us and keep us from moving forward. And we sit in our corners and we have pity on ourselves and we feel bad about it. And we're just like, "Man, this really stinks." But we're not willing to do the one thing that God has told us to do, and that is to cry out to him. You need to find your voice. If you truly want to experience your worth, you need to understand what Bartimaeus did. And he said, "Listen, I'm not going to let anyone or anything block me from having a conversation with Jesus Christ. Because until I have that conversation with him, I can't ask for help." Bartimaeus refused to be timid. He refused to wait for somebody else to step in and give him the green light that it was okay to pursue Jesus Christ. I think so often in our own lives, we allow our fear and our embarrassment and our worry to keep us from crying out to God. It's as if we fear that we're going to be giving God new information that he wasn't already aware of. And we're like, I just don't know. You know what? Here's what I'll do. I will try this, this, and this. And if that doesn't work out, then I'll call to God. You know how much time and energy has been wasted in your life and in my life because we tried that? It didn't work. There's a reason that God says, when you are in your moment of need, cry out to me. I will hear you and I will answer you. Cry out. Find your voice. The second thing I think is really, really cool in this story, this encounter with Jesus, is that when Jesus finally called Bartimaeus, he didn't stay where he was. So the second thing I think you need to do is you need to not only find your voice, you need to get past your past. Get past your past. See, Jesus calls out to Bartimaeus. He says, tell him to come here. Now, what's interesting, again, is that those critics that were criticizing and attacking him, the moment that they heard Jesus call for him, they became his biggest cheerleaders. There are people in your life that are going to do everything they can to be critical of you. They might not even mean to do it on purpose, but they are critical of you, and they are literally keeping you from getting up and moving past your past. We all have a past. It's in the past, but you are in what's called time, and time moves in one direction. It moves forward. And if you allow your past to continue to stay in your present, it will sacrifice your future. You will not be able to do and be all that God's called you to be if you keep allowing your past to get in front of you. Your past is supposed to stay where it is. You go, well, I would love to be able to go back and change something in my past. You can't. Get over it. It's okay. We have all made mistakes. Can we agree with that? Right? So, listen, let me tell you something. I made some serious... No, we don't need to hear all the mistakes, okay? But we've all made mistakes. But if you allow your past to continue to stay in your present, it will determine the path for your future. Bartimaeus, when he hears that Jesus has called for him, you got to picture it, because I love when I read the Bible to really try to picture it. So picture it, if you will, with me. You know, tens of 20 of hundreds of people are all surrounding Jesus. They're all over the road. Bartimaeus is sitting down, covered in his coat, maybe a blanket, maybe sitting on a little pillow of some kind, and he's hollering out with all of his lungs, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And finally, someone tells him, Barty, listen, he's calling for you. And he doesn't hesitate. He takes his cloak and he throws it off and he jumps up. Now, he is blind and he runs to Jesus. He is knocking into people. He's pushing people out of the way. He may be even falling, and everybody's like, dude, seriously? Good. And he's getting there as quickly as he can, because the moment that he hears that Jesus is calling for him, he has decided that nothing will hold him back. Not his past, not the people around him, not the labels that he thinks about himself, because he's doing everything he can just to get to Jesus. Man, what if we had that passion for our relationship with Jesus Christ today? How many relationships do we allow to get in between us and Jesus? How many times have we allowed what people have said about us to keep us from pursuing Jesus to our fullest? You know, it's difficult, especially when it's people that you love, isn't it? Maybe those who have loved you your entire life, but because of the things that they've said about you, the things that they believe about you, it has limited what you believe you're worth to be. And so therefore, you don't pursue God. So if you want to really understand your worth, you've got to find your voice. Don't be silent. Cry out to God. Unabashed, unashamed, cry out to God. Then you need to get past your past. And then third, you need to know your need. This encounter that he has, that Jesus has with Bartimaeus, it just tickles me every time. Because Bartimaeus is hollering top of his voice for we don't know how long. He finally gets called. He gets up and runs to Jesus, knocking people over, running over, falling, gets to Jesus, and he stands in front of Jesus. Can you imagine the commotion that was going on? People were like, dude, what's going on? And he finally gets to Jesus, and Jesus goes, what do you want? We want. Now, do you think for a second that Jesus is like, dude, I have no idea what's going on here. What, are you blind or something? Jesus knew what he needed. All the people there knew what he needed. Bartimaeus knew what he needed, but Jesus still made him ask for it. You see, I believe that the reason that Jesus asked is because he wanted Bartimaeus to recognize his own need. To say, yeah, you know what, Jesus, I'm asking you because I can't fix this. It doesn't matter what I do, I can't change this. I want to see. And so he just, I want to see. You know, sometimes in our lives, we get to this point and we've hollered out to God for an answer. God, please, please, please. And we find our voice, and when we get to the point, we're like, you know what, God, I believe that you can use me in spite of what happened in my past, in spite of what I've struggled with, in spite of the labels, in spite of what other people have said about me. I believe that you can use me. And then finally we hear in our hearts or through the word of God, the voice of God saying, what do you want? And we say, bless me. Be with me. Watch over me. And we pray these generic, timid, purposeless prayers. Now, this is me, okay? I believe there's lots of scriptural evidence pointing to it, but it doesn't specifically say this. So just, I always kind of put that caution out there when I'm telling you my thoughts on something. I believe that God waits for us to specifically ask before he answers. And I don't believe it's God going, you need to guess the right phrasing. No. It's God going, I want you to recognize what your need is. Because until you recognize that you have a need, me giving you the answer to that isn't going to fix anything. It's not going to change anything. Because until you get on your knees, whether it be metaphorically or whatever, and you just come and you bow before God and you go, God, this is what's going on. I need this. There is a timidity that comes within us because we don't want to pray that because we're afraid God won't answer. And then when God doesn't answer, it begins to say things about us, right? Because God can do all things. But here's the thing. The Bible also says that you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. So as you go before God and you finally get to that point, be specific, and you're like, yeah, but I've been praying and I've been being specific and God hasn't answered. Don't forget, Bartimaeus was hollering over and over and over and over. And it wasn't until the very point when he was ready that God finally answered him. It wasn't that God wasn't ready. It wasn't that Jesus wasn't ready. It wasn't that Jesus wasn't aware that it was going to happen. Bartimaeus wasn't ready yet. Get past your past. Find your voice. Know and recognize your need. Finally, follow your Savior. Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? Bartimaeus says, I want to see. And Jesus says, you are healed. And instantly, the Bible says, his eyes are open. Instantly. There wasn't a pause. There wasn't a lag time. There wasn't a delayed effect. There wasn't anything like that. It was instant. He could see instantaneously. He was able to visibly see his Savior, Jesus Christ. His eyes could see it. In my mind, I can just imagine the chaos that broke out. My guess would be tears are streaming down Bartimaeus' face and the people are cheering and it's like, man, this is awesome. There's probably ancient chest bumps going on and all sorts of stuff. It was just an amazing scene that's taking place. And it would have been so easy for Bartimaeus to receive the blessing from God and go his way because that's what Jesus says. Your faith has made you see. Now go your way. Oftentimes we pray and we ask God for an answer. God gives us the answer. We say, thank you. I'll see you again at the next time I need you. Thank you, God, for answering that. Thank you for providing that. I'll see you next time I have a need. That is a really good way of not being able to pursue your worth. So the final part of this is follow your Savior. Follow your Savior. Bartimaeus' eyes are opened, and he's able to see Jesus. He's able to see a person for the first time in who knows how long. And Jesus says, listen, you're healed. You can see now. Go live your life, man. And he goes, not a chance. I'm following you wherever you go. I will do whatever you do. I will sleep wherever you sleep. You have a need, I got it. I'll do whatever you need me to do because you set me free. You see, there's times in our lives when Jesus has stepped in and changed things, altered things, provided. And yet, after the fact, we tend to allow the emotion of the moment to fade away. And we don't pursue him with the reckless abandon that he's called us to. Bartimaeus knew the only way to truly show thankfulness to this person, this Jesus of Nazareth, who he would later find out was Messiah, God himself, was to follow him. What has God done for you? What has God done for you? If he has saved you, pulled you out of sin and despair, if he's given you a new hope and a new heart and a new ability to do all the things that he's called you to be, if he's allowed you to be able to get rid of, to shed those labels, to do all those things, what hope do you have? What thing can you do that would put greater joy and praise and glory to the name of Jesus Christ than to pursue him with everything? To give everything you have to follow after him. To let everything else fade to the background. The reality is that we have so many things that we allow to get in between us and our relationship with Jesus. And listen, if you want to truly follow him, you got to get to the point where you go, you know what, there is no one, there is nothing more important than my relationship with Jesus Christ. Now here's the thing. People hear that, they go, you mean that you are not supposed to put other, I mean, what about like your spouse? Let me tell you something. You love Jesus Christ with a reckless abandon, you will learn a love for your spouse that you didn't even think was possible. You go, well, it's just, the fire is just not there anymore. There's a reason. You realize the Holy Spirit is called the fire of God? That when your relationship with God, relationship with Jesus Christ wanes, that the spark tends to die. What about my kids? You know what? You will begin to see your kids with a different perspective. You will begin to realize that they are a child of God, that they are precious and they are appointed to do something great, and you can begin to build into them maybe the things that you never experienced as a child. You can begin to tell them that their worth is beyond anything that you can even begin to imagine. Why? Because Jesus Christ thought they were so valuable that he gave his very life for them. You see, when your relationship with Jesus Christ is the way that it's supposed to be, your relationship with others goes beyond anything you can even imagine. Yet, the reverse is also true. If your relationship with God is messed up, your relationship with everyone else is going to be messed up. It's just the way that it is. So my challenge to you today is that if you already know Jesus Christ, man, start doing these things. Start living like Bartimaeus did, and be like, listen, I'm gonna find my voice. I don't care what people think of me. I'm not going to be embarrassed anymore. If it means I need to just respond to God in a way that, I don't know. I'm going to find my voice. I'm going to do whatever it takes. Maybe you need to get past your past. Maybe it's things that you've allowed yourself to be labeled with, or things that you believe about yourself, or things that you think are true, and you need to just get past that and realize that God has forgiven and God is ready to take you to the next step. Or maybe you need to ask for forgiveness for your past. Maybe that's part of the problem. Maybe that's where it comes to knowing your need. What is it that Jesus needs to do for you? And then finally, just follow. Just follow. Maybe today, this is the first time that this idea of who Jesus Christ is finally connected. To understand that Jesus, God in the flesh, came to live among us so that we would understand what it means to have a relationship with God, and that he died on the cross because we're all sinners, we're born sinners. We've already acknowledged that. You can be like, I'm not a sinner. Listen, you already said your past is messed up and you've made mistakes. Right? We're already there. We're well beyond that. Maybe your need today is a need to recognize Jesus as who he is. The Son of God, who died on the cross for your sins to give you a new life. If that's you today, I'd challenge you in just a moment as we pray to just say yes to God, to respond to that and begin to follow your Savior. Because if you don't do these things, you will continue to be lost and wandering. Father God, we thank you so much for your gift of salvation, for your willingness to use us, for your willingness to see us and give us value. God, I pray for those who are followers of you already, who've taken that step of faith, who believe that you, that your son Jesus is the Savior, the one that gives us the opportunity to respond and have a relationship with you. God, I pray that whatever part they are on that journey of discovering their worth, that God, they would just connect with it, that they would embrace it, and they would realize that it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks about them. It doesn't matter what they think about them. All that matters is what you say about them. And God, you say they have value and worth and purpose. God, help them discover that. God, for those here this morning who, for the first time, it connected and it made sense, I pray that just in the quietness of this moment, God, that they would pray in their hearts, they'd pray in their minds something like this: Dear God, I believe. I believe Jesus died for me. I believe that he wants me to be free. He doesn't want me to be held by my labels or my past, my sin or my shame. And today, I accept Jesus, and I want to follow him and give him glory in how I live my life. Father, we are honored. We are blessed to be here this morning to hear about your name and to praise you with worship. And God, as we do that, allow our hearts and our minds to be stilled and quiet and broken before you to receive whatever you have for us. Father, we thank you for this. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.